You're not supposed to be able to be this big and move this fast.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. You're not supposed to be this big and still be able to move this fast. We're going to talk about Mysen Johnson-Cook in a little more in-depth on the speed aspect and what Auburn's getting. It's commit season. We're going to talk about the recruiting calendar and what Auburn has to look forward to, I guess, for the next month or so. We'll talk about that. And then Jackson Coyvan wins again. We're going to talk about, again, how good he is, and then maybe glance across a Twitter debate that I kind of created this past weekend. We'll jump into that. Let's just dive right in. Okay, let's talk about Mysen Johnson-Cook. He committed over the weekend. Huge get for Auburn, a consensus top, 50 player. In the country, borderline five-star on a couple of sites. His recent, the most recent camp or most recent thing where he weighed in, he was 6'2", 235, okay? So that's, in comparison, that would put him right at one of the bigger running backs in the NFL draft this year. I think he had Mike Washington Jr. from Arkansas that was pretty close. And then maybe Adam Randall from Clemson, also pretty close from a size standpoint. There was someone in the chat last night for the Barncast Live that said that they felt that was too big. That's too big to be a running back. And I'm just not sure that that's the case anymore. It seems like the big back is coming back. Thursday, your first round of the NFL draft, you had Jeremiah Love get drafted in the first round. He's one of those bigger backs. Now, he did run a 4.36. If you're going to be big, you still got to be really, really fast. And Mysen Johnson-Cook, I'm just going to call him MJC, has speed for days. I was a little bit shocked when I looked into it a little bit further. Someone mentioned in the chat last night, and I went back to cross-reference because I wanted to make sure it was accurate, because I just threw it out there. But his quickest 40 times so far is a 4.44, okay? And to give you perspective, that would put him tied for fifth as among running backs in the 40-yard dash, okay? I think the fastest one was 4.33. 4.44 puts him right there in the top half of the running backs as far as 40s go at 232 pounds, which is just insane. I mean, that's a load, man. The bigger, what is it? I'm not even going to do the physics equation. The bigger you are, the faster you are, the harder it's going to be to tackle, period. And 6'2", 235 running a 4.4 is very, very impressive. He also runs track, and this is one of the things that was a little bit more impressive. I mean, even more impressive as far as speed goes. Okay, so he runs Texas 6A, which is at the tops of the classification in Texas. 100 meter, he's ran so far a 10.3, 10.33, and 10.42. That says wind aided, and then wind legal, which this will mean more to those that really know track. He ran it at 10.45 into a slight headwind. Okay. Now, this is all from his 247 Sports profile page. And in as an eighth grader, he ran a 10.97 100 meter dash. Now, again, this is not comparing, this is not a comparison. Okay, if this was a comparison, I would say MJC is as is just like Bo Jackson. That is a comparison. You're saying this is Bo Jackson clone. Okay, that is saying that he could be the same. Okay, so anytime you use another name for reference, that doesn't necessarily mean you're comparing the two or saying one is going to be like the other. Okay? All right. Now, with that being said, Bo Jackson's fastest 100-meter dash, remember, so far, Mycen Johnson's got a 10.3, 10.33, 10.42, and 10.45. Okay? Bo Jackson's fastest 100-meter dash was 10.39. Okay? And this was when he was running track at Auburn, not in high school. And also, this was cited in the relays. Like, they were doing a 100-meter relay. So, it's not, like, coming out of the blocks. It's a little bit different. You kind of have a little bit of a head start, I guess. It does say in high school he ran a 10.44, okay? So, when you're talking about a 100-meter dash and you're talking about being big and still being able to run fast, at least from a speed perspective, you're close to where Bo Jackson was at this point in his career, this point in his life in high school. So you're 6'2", 230-plus pounds. You're running at the top level of speed in high school in Texas. And you play running back. Last year, he ran for 1,341 yards. He averaged over 10 yards a carry and had 20 touchdowns. That was as a junior. And then as a sophomore, he ran for just shy of 1,000 yards and 14 touchdowns, but still averaged over 10 yards a carry. So for his high school career so far, he is – proven he is not just a big fast guy, he's also a very, very good running back, as he's averaging over 10 yards a carry for his career. With I know a lot of people are going to say, hey, it's just a running back, running backs aren't valued. I play fantasy football, I know this. You never draft a running back early in fantasy football. You always, you can get one at any point in time. I guess fantasy football is different. We're talking about the NFL draft. Fantasy football is different. But in the NFL draft, you don't take running backs early. You don't invest a ton in running backs because, blah, 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 blah. Well, like I said, I'm wondering if that trend may be changing just a tad. Again, Jeremiah Love going in the first round. If you're a bigger back and you can still move really well, does it give you – and you're elite at the college level, which he was. Is there still value there at the top end of the NFL, the top end of college football, to go all in for a running back? This will be a feature guy, hopefully, if you can get him signed and get him enrolled. That's the thing, man. Kind of touched on it last night. Like, this thing ain't over. It's April 27th. Miami's not going to give up. None of these big schools are going to give up chasing him through him signing his letter of intent. Because remember, you can still go in the portal even after you sign. We saw it happen a couple of times last year. You don't even have to have a coaching change for that to happen. So it's going to be all the way until he enrolls and gets on campus. Auburn's going to have to battle to keep this kid. Super exciting. Again, that big, that fast, he could be an impact like the day he sets on campus. I mean, imagine, what was Cameron Petway? I want to look at what his height and weight was. I want to say he was closer to 240. Give me a second. He was 6 foot 237. So, no, he was closer to 240. But so imagine Cam Petway size, but a track star. That's kind of crazy to think about. Commit season, I think we're right in the thick of it, and you may see things start to pick up. We're going to talk about why in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to the PTAC Precision Tune Auto Care, where car care meets hospitality. It's right there in Opelika, locally owned off of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans. It's just right there on the corner. You cannot miss it. They take auto hospitality very serious. It's not about that first visit. It's about creating the relationship so that you come back every single time and know you're going to be taken care of. Every time you go in, you're going to get a full 360-degree inspection with video, with pictures, explaining what exactly is going wrong. They're going to tell you, hey, this needs to be addressed right now, or, hey, we need to look at this in your next couple of visits. Check them out. Show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then just got a new application last night as well. Go to buyauburn.com. We're adding new businesses every single day. Want to do a business shout out right now. Antler Boost Deer Feed. Hey, if you're a big hunter, I know that hunting season's out right now, but it's not like you can't prepare for next year. If you need high quality, small batch deer feed, you need to check out Antler Boost. They ship nationwide. If you want to carry it as a wholesaler, they got opportunities there as well. So that's the kind of stuff we have at Buy Auburn. It could be anything from that to restaurants to insurance agents to gyms, anything. Do business with Auburn people. It's buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. I'm probably a little bit more into this than most, but I think it's good to let you guys know how the recruiting calendar works occasionally, let you know what period we're in so you know what's going on, okay? So currently, from April the 15th, which we're in April 27th, so we're right in the thick of it, from April 15th through May 23rd, so we got roughly a month left, this is called the contact period. Okay, and this is where I feel like you're going to start to see more commits across the country start to really pop. So in the SEC, I think there's really only two schools that have double-digit commits. Every other team, you know, has, you know, five, six, seven, eight commits. Auburn has three. So it's not necessarily like Auburn's that far behind. There's a ton of kids in the top 100 that are still uncommitted. And there's a ton of kids at Auburn still pursuing that are in those same that same top 100. So right now, currently, like I said, we're in that contact period. What does that mean? Contact period means coaches can go on the road and actually contact, actually visit with recruits. Go in home with them. You're gonna, I assume you'll start seeing a lot of those pictures where, thank you, Coach Durkin, for coming to see us. And it'll be everybody sitting in the living room with a picture, all that kind of stuff. Okay. We're in that season. And a lot of times during that season, I feel like you're going to start to see a lot of the quote unquote deals being closed. All right. So this is different than a lot of other periods. Like you have the period where they can come visit you, but you can't go visit them. But this is one, this is where I think the rubber starts hitting the road and you really start kind of setting the tone, you know, for summer, because you really want to have the majority of your class done before you get into the season. I feel like that's the teams that are the most successful in recruiting these days. That's the ones. They kind of got everything in order, you know, before the season gets started. So several names you could have, you could be on the lookout for throughout this summer. Number one, you got Jalen Moore, which is an offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman, I think from Creekside, which Auburn's had a lot of not Creekside. Yeah, maybe it is Creekside. Hold on 1 second. Jalen Moore on three. We'll check out his on three page. Creekside, yeah, I was right. That was one to look for. You got Nash Johnson. You got a ton. You got several guys that you could be looking for to recruit. I had a list and I just clicked off of it and lost it. So give me a sec. All right, here we go. Here we go. Carlos May, big defensive lineman from Ramsey that you're trying to close. Jabarius Garore, your big, I think, pass rusher that from Viger that you got to decommit from Alabama. Nash Johnson, defensive back from McEachern, you got to decommit from Alabama. Jalen Moore, we just mentioned. Deshaun Hall, big four-star wide receiver from Prattville that's been several times. Jeremiah Culpepper, another linebacker from LaGrange. Sincere Gaylord, one of the top defensive backs in the country. So you got a ton of guys that you're sitting really, really well for. This is the time you might start seeing those guys come off the board. So let's buckle up, and then we'll hopefully have a lot of action to talk about to close out April and then hit, you know, the majority of May. It should be commit season. So hopefully Auburn can close some out. Let's finish up. Let's talk about Jackson Coyvan. Jackson Coyvan goes for the three-peat for the men's individual SEC championship. Remember, the way the SEC championship worked is they played three rounds of stroke play as a team, and that determined your seeding for the match play. And then Auburn obviously got knocked out in match play in the very first round against the eventual SEC champions, Ole Miss. But, I'm sorry, no. They beat South Carolina, got to the second round, and got knocked out by Ole Miss. But the first three rounds determine the individual SEC champion, and Jackson won it, again, I think by like seven shots for the third time in a row. Think about this. He played in eight tournaments this spring, okay, including the SEC tournament. He played in eight, and he won six of them. That is just like unprecedented territory. They do this thing where they track your amateur golf data, and they've been doing it since 2010, where they take all your collegiate events, all your events, amateur events you play outside of college, and you have points, okay? You accrue points, and they track you, and they can actually compare you versus prior amateurs like that are now in on the PGA Tour. Jackson has the highest index of any any former amateur that's now pro that's ever been tracked since 2010. So you're just like, okay, what does that mean? Okay, he's number one over guys like John Rahm, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Cantlay, Luke Clanton, who's one of the top amateurs, you know, just a couple of years ago. Victor Hovland, Matthew Wolf, Colin Morikawa. I'm rattling off a lot of major winners, okay? Gordon Sargent from Vanderbilt that was, you know, everybody loved, thought was going to be the next big thing. Justin Thomas. We're talking about unprecedented territory. Again, one of the greatest amateurs really of all time. Still, if he were to win the national championship individual tournament, I think you'd have to be in the argument for one of the greatest amateur golfers of all time. And he's going to be able to go, if he decides to go pro, if he could, he's going to be able to get PGA Tour starts like right off the bat. I kind of made a few people mad this weekend, and a lot of people are getting really hung up over the term athlete, okay? It's really hard to say, encompass, this guy is better at his sport or has an argument that he's better at his sport than other Auburn athletes at their sport, okay? How do you say that in a few characters? It just said Auburn athlete. I don't care. I'm not talking about him running a 40. I'm not talking about him running, throwing a javelin. I'm not talking about him scoring touchdowns. I'm just saying, there is an argument, and there were some very good rebuttals. Okay, Jacoby Tharp is one of the track stars that we have who's at Auburn. Rowdy Gaines, a swimmer, that's another one that's really, really good. There was another swimmer, and I forget his name. So there's two swimmers and a track star that have won tons of NCAA titles. There's even some world records on the table. So like those are really good comparisons to what I feel like is similar value in what Jackson Coyvan has been able to do while he's at Auburn for 3 years and be steady for 3 years. So one thing I've gained from that is learning more about some of the other Auburn sports that you don't really hear about that much. But it doesn't mean that I think that he is the biggest, fastest, and strongest. It's just when you take and you look at the success that he's had in his one sport and you compare it to others, there's an argument that it's as good or better than any of them. And we don't talk about it a lot because, again, for the same reasons we don't talk about track and field a lot, for the same reason we don't talk about swimming enough or equestrian or some of those, they just don't quite grab the headlines. And so all I'm trying to do is say, hey, look, this guy is really daggum good. It's something special. It's something we've never had before. So could be one that's fun to watch well beyond college golf. So wanted to show him that love for sure. And hopefully match play is so weird. Match play, like even in match play. So the first round of match play, he shot 6 under on his own ball. And I know that's not 100% like ball and hole golf, but he shot 6 under. So his first 4 rounds, he played the 3 to determine the individual. Okay. And then he played his first round of match play. In his 4 rounds, he was 25 under par. The guy that won the RSM Classic, okay, the RSM Classic is played at the same golf facility. Now, they do play like a couple of rounds. There's 2 courses out there. They do play a couple of rounds on the other course, but they finish on the Seaside course, which is where Jackson played his 4 rounds. That guy was 23 under. So he won it at 23 under. Jackson was 25 under. That's a professional golfer. Jackson was 25 under in his, you know, his 4 rounds. I understand we can argue all day about conditions. We can argue about time of year, whatever. I'm just kind of giving you context of how crazy his 4 rounds were, and that even though he shot 6 under, he tied his match. Like, so match play, you can shoot a really low score and lose, and you can shoot a really high score and win. It all depends on what the other guy does. And anybody at that level can do anything in one 18-hole round in match play. So it's crazy, but he's been on just an incredible run this spring. And look forward to seeing what he does at Nationals. And the team, too. Maybe they can get another one under their belt. Guys, I really appreciate you listening. We're going to have a great week of shows. Let me know how you feel about MJC. Let me know how you feel about commit season. And let me know how you feel about the greatest Auburn athlete at their particular sport. Got to put that qualifier in there, I guess. Let me know who you think is the greatest. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.